The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 105 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
We've got to talk about what the fuck just happened.
Yep. That happened.
It did.
That's, we're coming to you later in the afternoon on Tuesday. Different than our usual Monday podcast. You had a nice weekend in Atlanta.
I did.
Now you're back, and there are things to discuss today. A jam-packed podcast today. We've got Justin Falk, trade news. We've got an interview with Eric Halla. We've got another minute with Marty, and we've got a few questions from the listeners to get to. But I guess right from the top, let's start with the big news of the day, and that is defenseman Justin Falk being traded to the St. Louis Blues. And in return, the Hurricanes get defenseman Joel Edmondson, forward Dominic Bach. There were a couple draft picks, too, involved in the deal. The Hurricanes.
A fifth-rounder going St. Louis's way, a seventh-rounder coming Carolina's way.
Correct. A couple different years involved in those as well. But that's the trade. It had kind of been rumored that Falk, you know, was involved in some trade talks for the last couple of weeks or so. And then, of course, today he was held out of the skates, and that sort of raised some eyebrows because head coach Rod Brind'Amour saying he was healthy.
Yep.
And then the news of the trade came this afternoon. So that's the latest there. Quickly, TV's Mike Maniscalco, your rapid thoughts to today's trade.
Well, I think once you've put a guy's name out on the trade block, the best thing that you can do is either come out when a trade falls apart and say, we're not doing anything, or get a deal done. So I was not surprised that a deal got done. And when you look at what happens on the surface, you asked for a quick, I'm going to go with on the surface. Everybody thinks that this would be Justin Falk for Joel Edmondson. But the deeper dive is Dominic Bach, the 19-year-old forward who was of German descent. He's playing in the Swedish Elite League, I believe, this year.
The Swedish Hockey League now, but yes.
Yeah, but I believe the 25th overall selection in the 2018 draft.
Yep.
A lot of people are really high on him. He took some strides last year. Look, the Canes got value for a defenseman who they were looking to move. They have a surplus in defensemen, still do, but had a surplus in defenseman of right-handed shot defenseman. Justin Falk was on the last year of his deal. We don't know if there was any problems with trying to get an extension, but Justin Falk told us he'd be open to an extension and staying in Carolina. This is just a week and a half ago on the first day of training camp, but the Canes needed to get under the salary cap. This relieves some salary that they needed to get rid of. They get in return Joel Edmondson, a very sturdy defenseman who can be a physical presence, but for me, it's does Bach turn into that player that a lot of people are starting to project that he's on. But both sides get what they want. The Blues get a right shot defenseman who can help quarterback a power play for him. The Canes get a sturdy defenseman in Joel Edmondson who will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And they get a prospect that a lot of scouts are drooling over right now.
Yeah, I think when you look at I guess we can first sort of analyze the one-for-one defenseman move here. And the Hurricanes send to St. Louis Justin Falk, someone known more for his offensive abilities as a defenseman, two- or three-time All-Star, too, leads all franchise defensemen in goals and points in his time here with the Hurricanes. And in return, the Hurricanes get, as you said, a steady defender, a physical defender. I think someone who fits in that 5-6 pair maybe a little better than Falk did, because once the Hurricanes signed Jake Gardner, I think it might have pushed Justin Falk down the depth chart a little bit just in terms of where he might slot in on the Hurricanes' defense, especially if you consider perhaps a couple of pairs of Slavin and Hamilton, Pesci, Gardner. So this gives the Hurricanes, I think, a really physical option in that 5-6 pair along with Trevor Van Riemsdyk or Hayden Fleury while Van Riemsdyk is recovering from a shoulder surgery. So I think it gives the Hurricanes a more, I think, well-balanced look on their blue line. But they are certainly going to miss Falk's ability to move the puck out of the zone,
yep,
move the puck up the ice. Puck-moving defenseman, that's what Rod Brind'Amour sort of likes. It sort of plays to the system's strength,
yes,
here in Carolina. But, yeah, the Hurricanes, I think, get a piece on defense that they haven't really had that identity on their blue line in these last couple of years. And I think he's going to fit in very well and be able to provide that physical presence that the Hurricanes really haven't had back there.
You know, and meanwhile, when you look at the loss, when you send Justin Falk the other way, Jake Gardner is here to take up the power play minutes that Justin Falk would have had.
Right.
But Justin Falk is a guy that when his shot is on, it is as good as anybody is you can look for in the National Hockey League on the power play as far as putting it on net with accuracy, with some kind of authority behind it. Edmondson, who comes in, he's not going to be Justin Falk. He's not going to get power play minutes. He's exactly what Michael of the Web, Smith, just said, which is more of a physical presence, a penalty killer. You can see him in that role. That's what he is going to be doing. Of course, Justin Falk was a penalty killer for the Carolina Hurricanes too, but you look at the deal that Justin Falk signed with St. Louis, a extension was part of this deal. He gets the contract he wants. And when you consider that Jared Spurgeon got a deal very similar to that less than a week ago, you know, the money, the I's and the T's are all dotted and crossed and it all makes sense right now. But, you know, Justin Falk, I've covered him his whole career and I wish nothing but the best for him. He was always affable, always had a minute, was a guy who I think truly cared deeply about trying to win. I think last year getting to the playoffs and going on that run was really something that he savored every single minute of it. And, you know, we wish him well. But the Canes, they continue, Michael. Like I said, everybody's going to look at that this is Joel Edmondson for Justin Falk. The Canes continue to add young forwards to the stable. And you look at a model of a team that for a few years people were kind of scratching their head. Oh, what are they doing? You know, they're holding on to players. They're not doing this. And then all of a sudden they get what they want. The Colorado Avalanche have this surplus of young forwards who are all starting to mature at the same time. The Canes right now have a couple of young forwards who in 3 years, when they start really hitting their prime, guys like Sebastian Aho, Andre Svechnikov, and if Dominic Bach is who the organization thinks he is, who scouts are predicting he will be, you got three pretty good players who are going to be part of your team for a long time.
Yeah, Corey Pronman from The Athletic, he sort of specializes in prospects and what they're all about. And he labels Dominic Bach as a very good NHL prospect, says he makes unique plays with the puck, has high creativity, excellent passer, decent one-timer, can score goals. I think there's, you know, there's still some development there that Bach will need. But clearly, you know, when the St. Louis Blues selected him 25th overall just 2 years ago, no, excuse me, just last year, they certainly saw something in his skill set that was promising. So the Hurricanes add a right shot to their forward collection, which, you know, they don't really have a lot of on the NHL team right now. In fact, I think, you know, if you factor in Julian Gauthier, he's really one of the only ones up front, at least. So they add that to their collection of prospects, a guy who's playing in the Swedish Hockey League right now and you would hope continues to develop as a pro. And maybe we get a better feel for him when he makes the transition to North America, whether that's after this season in Sweden or maybe we see him at development camp. But we'll have much more of an idea of what he's going to be able to do once he makes that transition to the North American game.
Of course, never hurts having a player play a year overseas and get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. Worked for Sebastian Aho.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that works out. But again, you look at the trade and everybody always wants to grade it right away. This is a trade that I don't think that you'll be able to grade today or even tomorrow. This is a trade that gets graded 2-3 years from now based on where Dominic Bach is. Does Joel Edmondson stay with the Carolina Hurricanes organization? Because he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, Michael. So.
Yeah, and the last two summers, I guess it's worth noting that he's gone through arbitration. Arbitrator ruling, awarding him a $3.1 million deal for this upcoming season. So as you mentioned, too, the Hurricanes moving a step down in terms of cap dollars. Justin Falk was on the last year of his deal. I think he was scheduled to make about $4.8 million. So now they get that $1.7 million freed up there and are working their way towards getting below that cap ceiling. Again, if you go on Cap Friendly, You're going to see that the Hurricanes are a smidge over the cap ceiling, but I think that's with a roster of about 25 players. The Hurricanes obviously can only carry a maximum of 23, and I would be surprised if they even carried that many. So the Hurricanes are going to have no problem getting under the cap, but this move certainly helps alleviate some of that dollar amount that the Hurricanes were over. And in Edmondson, the Hurricanes get, like we said, a physical defender, a guy who just yep. won the Stanley Cup, so a guy who knows what it takes to win. And from what I've heard from St. Louis, my counterparts in St. Louis say he's a really good guy, yep. good to work with. But as you noted, too, Justin Falk, an excellent guy, very high character. It was one of the alternate captains for this team for the last number of seasons, was a co-captain with Jordan Staal a few seasons back.
Yep.
That you know, that's a big part of the Hurricanes locker room leadership, you know, whether he was vocal or not. That's
the
a
nickname
void.
The Sheriff.
He did.
One of the better nicknames that was out there. Yeah, just I like so that everybody one. Knows. I was a big fan of that.
But Justin Falk, multi-time All-Star, grew up really in this organization, was a good find in the second round for the Hurricanes scouting department. Edmondson also a second-round pick of the Blues a number of years ago. But, it's we kind of figured this might be coming for the last few weeks. And Justin Falk, you know, had to face the questions early on in camp, and I thought he handled it very well, as expected.
I think we already covered it. He could not have handled the questions any better than what he did. Like, seriously, that should be the video of Justin Falk handling the questions about the trade rumors that were swirling around him. That should be the playbook for every PR department in pro sports from here moving out.
And to see him in that drought, the playoff drought, you know, he had been a part of this organization for 550 some odd games, had not seen the playoffs.
Yep.
And he was a big part of that team last year, and I don't think any of us are going to soon forget the goal that he scored against the New York Islanders, and I believe it was, Game 3, when he came out of the box in the neutral zone, caught the puck that was flipped to him by, I think, Warren Fogle, put it down and scored on a awesome backhand goal that
out of the box and into the back of the net was the call.
That just sent this this building into a frenzy, put the Canes up 2-1 at the moment in that game. Of course, the Hurricanes would go on to sweep the Islanders in four games in that series. But he left his mark for sure on the ice and then off the ice when you look at what he did for this community. True defenders. He sort of spearheaded that alongside Noah Hanifin, who, of course, is now in Calgary. But Falk continuing that on even after Hanifin left, bringing in members of the military and honoring them for the work that they do, donating a suite for them for the night. You know, taking his time after games to sign autographs, to take pictures. Falk was a real, real stand-up human being. Like you, you know, I've covered him for my whole time here with the Hurricanes, and I'll certainly miss it.
Yeah, I don't have enough things that I can say about what he did behind the scenes. And Michael just kind of pointed out what he did for the military and servicemen and women, making sure that they could get to games. And then when they were here, the games they were here, no matter what the outcome was, no matter what happened to Justin Falk, he took the time to talk to each and every one of them. Mm-hmm. And this is a young man we're talking about. You know, he still has a lot of career left. But as Michael said, 559 career games played, 258 points, 85 goals. I know people will point to the plus minus, the dash, but that's one of those stats that, depending on who you talk to, doesn't matter, or it really does matter, whatever analytic heat flow map chart Warshak test Jackson Pollock painting you look at. I cover that one enough for you?
I think so.
All right, just want to make sure.
Hit all
but
the
like,
base.
No, like some analytics, really good analytics that I look at tell you plus minus is just a janky stat. And others will tell you, well, it gives you a pretty good idea of certain players. You also have to take into account the teams, the forwards who are on the ice, what's going on, how it was all played. But Justin Falk was always in the locker room, had a quick line to throw at somebody, and he was a big part of the fabric of the Canes locker room. And Let's address, if we can address one thing when you said leadership, going back 2 years ago with the co-captain thing.
Yep.
I think everybody will tell you in hindsight, nobody wanted that. Just you pick one and go from there.
And even Justin Falk said as much, too.
I mean, exactly. And I was going to drive at that. Justin Falk said as much. And then last year, when you had two guys who wore the C the year before, neither of them were wearing the captaincy, but neither of them, including Justin Falk, and we know Jordan Staal, made word one about it. They said, no, this is fine. This is how it should be. This is how leadership comes in. But look, Justin Falk meant a lot to this organization on the blue line for some lean years. He provided some big highlights. And as far as the Canes are concerned, he's going to be a tough guy to replace on the ice because of the offensive productivity from a defenseman, and off the ice because he was a guy who kind of got things going in the locker room and, you know, away from the rink and organized things for the team. But we wish him nothing but the best. But much like what you've heard, I've heard Joel Edmondson is a really good guy, solid fit for the Canes organization, and perhaps Dominic Bach turns into a promising young forward, as you mentioned, a right-handed shot that the Canes need, and he's speedy and talented and big, and that seems to be fitting a mold that the Hurricanes are looking at in creating a pretty scary attack in the future, and it's pretty scary right now for some teams if you ask what they have to try to stop, so we'll see, but we wish nothing but the best for Justin Falk in St. Louis, and this is a deal for, I think, both teams right now. St. Louis gets what they want. The Hurricanes, I had two questions going into this season once training camp opened up. One is the Justin Williams situation. You know, how is that going to play itself out as far as the leadership? And Justin Falk is part of that, or at least in the room, so that question still remains.
Yep.
But also, who was going to replace that physical presence that Michael Ferland brought to the Carolina Hurricanes last year? And folks, this isn't old-time hockey anymore. Nobody's putting on the foil. But to have a guy who doesn't take any guff, we're still working PC here on Canes Cast, you needed that. And not that Joel Edmondson is going to be confused with Dave Semenko. Google that. Don't ask. You can Google it. Dave Semenko, Edmonton Oilers. He's at least physical enough to provide that kind of oomph that the Hurricanes were looking for. So one of those questions got solved with this trade.
Yep. And if you're curious, the Hurricanes are in St. Louis on February 4th, and St. Louis is in Raleigh on March 19th. So a lot of time for that one to simmer before the two sides meet up again.
I have been told that in St. Louis, they do appreciate you.
They do.
So they appreciated Joel Edmondson. I'm sure they'll appreciate Justin Falk.
Yeah, and Falk gets a 7-year, $45.5 million extension. That was one of the things he was looking for if he did end up getting traded, was a long-term deal, being able to, you know, put down some roots somewhere. And like he had said a couple of weeks ago here when camp opened, that he wouldn't mind staying here either. But, you know, as we've seen, things were progressing in that direction where the Hurricanes were looking to move him, especially after making the Jake Gardner signing and adding that piece, that sort of element to their blue line. Falk became expendable. So it's a tough part of the business to see, you know, someone like him get traded, because he does make things easier on both you and I doing our jobs.
Yep. And Michael, continuing with Justin Falk, earlier today, president and general manager of the Canes, Don Waddell, had a lot to say about the trade. And in particular, like we said, people are thinking that this is just a one-for-one deal when it's really not the case. But the big one piece that the Canes are getting, the NHL-ready piece, in Joel Edmondson, Don Waddell had this to say about the Canes' new defenseman.
Joel played a lot of minutes on the PK last year, and as a defensive defenseman, we're not looking for him to score goals. Obviously, we need guys that can stop the rush, kill penalties, and so this was a different type of defenseman that we felt that would be an addition to our hockey club.
And with Dominic Bach, a promising young forward that you'll hear from Don Waddell again, and why the Canes think he's a big piece of this deal.
So actually, Bach plays a big part of this trade because, you know, we all know offense is a big part of the game going to be moving forward, and to get young assets score goals and have your offense controllable for the next few years from as entry level contract. As a player that we liked in the draft year, and felt that he was a big part of why, you know, you could say you're trading one unrestricted guy for another, Joel, but having Bach in there as a former first round pick, we thought was a huge coup for us to be able to land this type of player.
All right, so now you hear from the organization about those two pieces. Again, Edmondson fitting that role that the Canes, we've already covered, haven't had in a while, that kind of tough guy in the blue line, Michael. Same time, it is all about offense and speed in this league now, and that's two of the things that Dominic Bach brings to the table. So we'll make sure that this is one of those situations that you keep watching. Where is he going to fit as far as the Carolina Hurricanes moving forward? Does he spend another year overseas? I know that everybody's going to monitor his Swedish Elite League standings and stats this year, so we'll look to that. But on the other side, you do have to give up something, and Don Waddell talked about what the Canes are giving up in Justin Falk.
Well, Justin's not a lot for us, not only on the ice, but off the ice. You know, he's had, he spent a lot of money with our True Defender program. But on the ice, obviously, Justin has done everything we've asked from. I thought he played a big part in our success last year, going deep in the playoffs. And he's a good guy. I know Justin for a long time. I've had him with U.S. programs over the years. He's just one of those guys that you like to be around. And so it's never easy. You know, when you're moving pieces out like this, it's not easy. But again, we felt that the return was going to help our hockey club not only today, but certainly down the road.
And two-thirds of the guys who wore letters last year, Michael, are not part of the Carolina Hurricanes moving into this season. So that means at least, should we say two, one and a half, because of the Justin Williams stepping away situation.
Yeah, two-thirds.
He's here, but...
He's here. He's in the area. But he's around, not. But he's not in the locker room.
Not in the locker room right now.
And that's an important part of it.
So with that, how do you replace the leadership? That was also something else that Don Waddell addressed during this media conference call.
Well, you're always concerned when you lose leadership on your hockey club, but we do feel like we have other guys that maybe didn't wear a letter last year, but really took charge at times. Some of our younger players are taking on a bigger role in the organization. So, you know, leaders are hard to replace, but yet, you know, you got other guys that you believe can play that role and help the hockey club. So, you know, we'll challenge some of our younger players this year to take another step forward. And, you know, we're still going to count on our veterans to be the key guys to lead the hockey club.
And that is certainly a void that, and a question, as you mentioned, that still remains now without Justin Williams and Justin Falk. You know, two-thirds of the leadership group, we'll call it, from last season, the Hurricanes are going to need some more people to in that locker room to step up. Now, I don't have any doubt that there are guys who can do it. I mean, even you look at somebody like Sebastian Aho, he's still very young, but I think maybe he's ready to take a step and become a more vocal leader for this team. So we'll see how that shakes out. And Rod Brind'Amour, you know, saying he's gotten this question a few times in camp about captains and what he's going to do there. He said, we'll wait till training camp wraps up to see. Maybe this is why, you know, knowing that something like this could happen. Now I think your group is just about set. So now Rod Brind'Amour and his coaching staff can take a look and sort of figure out what they want to do with the leadership group. Who's going to wear the letter, the letters? If there will be a captain, we still don't know.
Yep.
But those answers will come, I would think, in the next week or so.
I would think so. Before opening night against Montreal, we'll know who's wearing the letters and exactly which ones they are. Those things kind of sort themselves out. Coming up here on episode 105 of the Canes Cast, well, we've got another, what are we officially calling it?
Minute with Marty? What did he call it today?
Marty Minute? He even asked us, what are we calling this? It's his segment. He can call it whatever he wants.
Yeah. It's still up in the air.
All I know is I call it the Martinook Minute because, you know, MM and just two words, try to get the alliteration. And then everybody was like, Minute with Marty. I'm like, well, that's three words, and people are, whatever. Just, it's Jordan Martinook expounding on many things. Expounding.
The Marty Minute.
On what he wants to talk about.
Yeah. Should we just get to it now?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, here it is. The Minute with Marty.
Jordan Martinuk with the Marty Minute. Is that what we're calling it? Marty Minute? I don't know. We're talking NC State Wolf Pack. Big win on Saturday night under the lights. I think there was 7 or 8 of us out there cheering on the boys and on the field. And just trying to get my teammates to kind of bring the energy that is needed to be at one of those football games. We had everybody laughing at me, but I think everybody appreciated the Wolfpack chance. And if you're going to go, you might as well go all in, and that's kind of the way I am. So next game we get to, we're going to make sure the boys lead the Wolfpack chant, hopefully get on the Jumbotron and get it going. But, yeah, hopefully our neighbors can keep it going, and we're converting a lot of Tar Heel fans into Wolfpack fans in this dressing room, so go Pack.
Yeah, they looked like they had a good time.
Kind of cringed a little bit, though.
Yeah, a little bit. He was, you know.
He went right in your kitchen. Yeah. Right in your kitchen, buddy.
He was looking directly at me when he was, you know.
Have you already punted on football season? It's basketball season. Isn't that what those who went to your school do right about now?
You know, we'll see what happens. Okay, Clemson this week is, you know, it's going to be interesting. Well.
Why? What does Clemson bring to the party
besides
the number one ranking?
Yeah, maybe that and, you know, some other things.
Yeah.
After App State, that's...
I don't think Marty's front running either. I think he just likes to get fired up for games. And
he does. I love the energy that he brings to everything, whether it's the Durham Bulls or on the ice here with the Hurricanes.
Again, no coincidence. He showed up at a Durham Bulls game. They won and made the playoffs. He shows up in town, magic happens.
Yeah.
Jordan Martinuk, if you need him, everybody. Well, speaking of it's a business, we tracked down Eric Holla. We promised we were going to get him, and this week he did take the time to join us. And, well, as you mentioned, here's a guy who thought he was going to be part of the Minnesota Wild's plans, and then he ends up with the expansion Vegas Golden Knights, and then he gets traded here to Carolina right before his wedding. So, again, the business side of hockey and sports doesn't care that much. But Eric Hall has been a good fit so far for the Carolina Hurricanes.
And he joins us right now.
Eric, first, thanks for joining us. And second, almost the end of camp, I guess, for you guys. How have you been fitting in with your first go-around here with the Hurricanes?
It's been good. It's going to a new team. It's important to, you know, get to know the guys, hang out with them, spend time with them. You know, that's a big thing and something I learned from my first experience going to a new team. And unfortunately I missed a couple of days on the ice, but still now back on. And you could call, I think, like halfway mark of the camp. And we're making strides. We still got work to do. And luckily we have a few more games to get our game going and then hit full stride.
And how are you feeling physically, not only just with the knee coming off the surgery, but with the lower body injury that, I guess, got aggravated there during the preseason?
Yeah, that's, you go at it hard, and those are just things, you know, it's training camp's hard, and everyone has little nagging injuries here and there, and some people's are a little worse. It just comes with knowing your body a little bit and knowing, you know, when it's a no-go and when you should maybe take a couple of days to get it better and taking away risk of, you know, doing something that's going to keep you out longer. So, I felt like I was at that point and that's why I wanted to make clear that it was in my knee and so I didn't have to answer 150,000 questions from people again. I feel good. I'm excited to get to play these last couple games here and then hit full stride.
At the same time, how important is it as you move along in the league, maybe you listen to your body a little bit more, something that maybe you would have played through 3 or 4 years. You're like, no, let's play it safe. Let's not try to press something. We got a long season to get to. Do you kind of find yourself paying attention to the bumps and bruises a little bit more? And that's got to be a good thing for you that you can recognize the signs.
Yeah. It's you never want to be out, you know, always want to be out there with your teammates, but you know, I think that's one part of, you know, when they say, you know, being a pro or whatever. Earlier in my career, I had, you know, tears and groins or whatever. It's just feeling those things out, knowing where it's like, okay, now it's, you know, step back a little bit and then you don't do anything, like I said, more serious. So that's where it comes from.
At the same time, how good was it for you to get back on the ice after last year? And get to a training camp and then get into a game and know, all right, I'm back. I'm where I need to be. I know you told us you felt that you were getting there, but to actually get out and do it, what does that do for you mentally?
No, that's where you need the reps. And, you know, it was a long period of time with no games. So I'm sure it's going to take a couple games to really get to my full potential. And that's what I'm going to work towards really hard.
Looking back over the summer, what was the reaction when you heard you got traded to the Hurricanes? And what was the process like going through that this summer?
Well, timing wasn't ideal. It was a couple of days before I was getting married. So it was just probably, you know, emotions were running high as it was. And you know, you deal with it how you would deal with anything that, you know, kind of comes from out of the blue. You know, it's just one of those things where you process it and then you move on and you make the most out of every single situation you get to. And I'm happy I ended up with a good group like this.
When you look back a couple of years to the expansion draft and then joining the Vegas Golden Knights and the run that you guys had that season, what was it about that season that made it so special? How were you guys able to sort of come together as a group and make that run?
It's pretty hard to explain, honestly. There was so much that happened with October 1st and you know, the start that we had and just the underdogs that we were and, you know, nobody giving us a shot to even win 20 games. You know, it was kind of disrespectful, we felt like. And you know, that's where one of my old teammates, James Neal, came up with the Misfits. And then that couldn't have fit us any better. And then we just, you know, it just started clicking. And then, you know, we started the season 8-1, and I think our confidence got up there, and, you know, we just kind of gave a big middle finger to everybody and said, you know, let's have fun with this. You know, we had the whole city, you know, they just jumped right on board. We were just a big, big, big unit, and you know, that's probably what it looked like when you're watching the games and the whole year. You know, it was a lot of fun, and then going all the way to the finals. It's just a special year, and unfortunately we couldn't bring it all the way home.
Well, like you said, you guys had something to prove that year. When do you know that you've got something special as a team? Like, does it take 10 games, 20 games, or do you guys know right from training camp, we might have something special with this group?
I think it's one of those prove it things. You know, you can look at our locker room right now here with the Canes here. You know, we have a great group on paper. It looks good. Great, one of the best decors probably in the league, and good solid. You know, all the way through, we have good potential in the lineup. So you know, it's just one of those prove it things. It doesn't really matter. You got to go out there. You got to win games. You got to show up every single night. You just need everyone on board. And I don't think it's. I think you have to prove it to yourself. You have to go head to head with the Washingtons and the Pittsburghs, and you gotta, you know, beat them in their building, beat them in your building. Just kind of prove it night after night, and then that's where the confidence comes from.
All right. Speaking of that, your home country is starting to prove you might be the hockey power of the world. Finland. What's going on? I mean, you look in this locker room. There's Sebastian and Teuvo and you, and you can run down the list of other guys. Where did Finland all of a sudden get this chip on its shoulder and you guys start bringing home golds in all these tournaments now?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a proud country. It's a small country, but you know, we have produced good hockey players, and it's awesome. It's fun to be a part of, and I don't know. I guess it's a hard question to answer, but it's definitely awesome. Everywhere you go, you want to be in a good squad, and Team Finland's definitely a contender in every tournament.
About a couple weeks into camp now, how anxious are you just to get this thing going, get to the regular season, especially after missing so much time last season?
Well, that's what it is. You show up to the rink every single day, and you put the work in, but ultimately you just want the days to get going, and this is the time to get ready. But then that's what you look forward to, is kind of, you know, showing up to the rink knowing here we go, and that's where it all starts. That's where the fun begins.
All right. More nervous for the start of the season or more nervous before your wedding? Which one wins out?
I don't know.
Did the trade at least take any of the nerves you might have had before wedding day? Wait, was something else you had to worry about?
No, I was pretty good at blocking it out, honestly, and I don't think it really hit me until like a couple of weeks after the wedding. I was so locked in to the wedding, but you know, I don't know if it. I don't think I was nervous for either. I think it's just more anxious and that sort of thing. So, just anxious to get going.
Eric, great to have you here. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Halla, nice chatting with one of the newest Hurricanes. A lot of new faces. That's sort of the theme, I think, of this podcast is a lot of new faces in the Hurricanes locker room. We'll get to see Joel Edmondson here soon, I would imagine. Dominic Bach will be, you know, whenever he finishes up in Sweden and makes the transition to North America. But Joel Edmondson, I would expect to see in town very soon. Get him up to speed with his new hockey club in time for opening night, which is just over a week away. Kind of hard to believe that we're almost there. But before that, the Hurricanes still have three preseason games left to play. Half of their preseason schedule. They go to Nashville on Wednesday. They host Nashville on Friday and then host the Washington Capitals on Sunday, that free game, a part of the Caniac Carnival. And what Rod Brindamore talked about today is Wednesday's game in Nashville might be a final chance for some of these guys to make their case, to state their case, to still be in Raleigh. And the Hurricanes, as of now, I do believe there are going to be some cuts coming today at some point, but as of now, still 47 players in camp. That's
today
a lot.
As in Tuesday. Today, or today as in Tuesday. Wednesday, if you're listening to this, because this is a podcast. It's out there for whenever people find it.
Yeah, today is in Tuesday, September 24th. Okay. And things change, as we've seen, very rapidly.
Oh, quickly.
Very rapidly.
In the blink of an eye, if you will.
So a chance for some kids maybe to state their case and make a case for them to still be in Raleigh come later this week and perhaps get one more look in Friday's game. But Rod Brindamore saying that he kind of wants to roll with his group in games 5 and 6 of the preseason to really make sure all that rust is knocked off and make sure they're ready to go full speed for opening night on October 3rd.
That's a good question. Whatever reporter asked that should get a pat on the back.
That was a good question, wasn't it?
Should get a pat on the back. Well, I said today. And but the other side, too, when you talk about Rod Brindamore, I just wanted to cut you off there because I'm bigger than you. on the side of Rod Brindamore wants to get to the game group wants to get to it as well.
And so do your podcast hosts.
Yes.
I'm going to speak for you. I feel like that's safe. We want to get to the game group.
I yield my time on the floor to the great senator from Kernersville.
We want to get, you know, the preseason is you know, important, as we discussed last week, for some of these guys fighting for spots, but we're ready for the game group.
Yeah, I think everybody, once you get past a week of camp, everybody's just ready for it to be over now because it's not what it used to be. It's not the guys had other jobs in the off season and they used training camp to come back in to get into game shape for the season that's coming up. That's not what it is anymore. Everybody's in great shape. Everybody is ready to go. And you know in the first 3 days of camp, the guys who aren't, and that really makes a decision on what you want to do with the team that you have and moving forward and combinations and what you want. I think if you have a team where the Canes were last year, there are a lot of question marks about the Carolina Hurricanes of who's going to play where, who's going to fit with whom, all those things that would work out. That's where you need a long training camp. Because that's where a guy like Warren Fogel can really turn heads and make his way onto a team. This year, there's two guys. One guy in Martin Natchez that people are thinking because of where he was drafted, what we've seen in some international play for him, where's his spot this year with this Carolina Hurricanes club. And Julian Gauthier has turned a little bit of heads. He keeps getting in the lineup. He keeps playing. He keeps staying here. But this is about time for the first rounder to get there. So those are the things you pay attention to. Also, listening to this edition of the Canes cast, it was not Harry Connick Jr. who was singing to us, or not Pharrell and Daft Punk. They're testing out the sound system here at PNC Arena because the new scoreboard has new speakers. And if you hear that, we're not playing it. The arena is playing it.
Yeah.
I believe this is the Dumbo soundtrack.
They're right here now, giving us a private concert. Yeah.
I mean,
we didn't want to spoil it, but they're
I no longer have the office to myself. I have an office mate now.
Yes, so, you do.
So she is very kind to let us continue recording the Canes cast here. They're playing the music for her, not for us.
Yeah.
So you know.
It's a welcome party.
Exactly. A little welcome to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Do we have
she will never listen to this podcast. That'd be my guess.
I don't blame her.
I just sign in under different names and give ourselves 5 stars. I'm trying to get you to take me to lunch.
I think it's time for...
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
I would agree.
Yep.
If you call for it, does that mean you have one?
No, I'm just...
Oh, my...
Of course not. I'm just moving the podcast along.
Oh, lordy. Just once. That was a tease, because I'm like, you're calling for it. You have to have one.
I mean, I have one. It's just not my own. I mean, it's mine because the fans have gifted it to me.
Oh, that's true. All right. So go right ahead. Go.
Well, I got to find him. I wasn't prepared there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, while you search, do you want me to give you the one that I've got?
Yes.
All right. So while everybody is focused on the Carolina Hurricanes situation with what's going on in the leadership department that we've talked about it, Michael Smith, the Carolina Hurricanes will not have a player having a C sewn on their sweater for the home opener.
I think I sent that back a few weeks ago.
I'm throwing it back at you again.
I'm still going to send it back, but I'm starting to lean towards taking it, but I'm still going to send it back.
All right.
Because I'm going to stick by my opinion that Rod Brindamore strikes me as a head coach who would want a captain. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm starting to lean towards maybe there is no captain, and just, you know, maybe a collection of alternates.
Well, it leads to, I'll steal it, Matt Maffey, 3W. I believe that's Pikachu for his avatar. For the Web's Michael Smith, Martinuk will get a letter on his jersey this season.
Yeah. I could see it happening. I think the way he carries himself in the locker room and on the ice and the way you see the team rally around him, I could totally see that.
I would be 100% for it. Also added, make the compromise and call it the Marty Minute.
Oh.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, the Marty Minute?
Yeah.
Instead of the Martinuk Minute, with Marty, the Marty Minute.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that too.
Okay. So those are two that we have.
Yeah, my mentions have been a disaster all day, so it's impossible to find things that folks have sent me. I'm going to have to start bookmarking them so I don't lose them. But my mentions today have just been a disaster.
The folks, same here, but I still seem to find them. And you're the Web's Michael Smith. The people are here to bail you out. I'm not going to tell them to stop it, but...
I appreciate.
I'm disappointed in you today,
I appreciate
buddy.
All their help. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, do you have one?
Nope.
Okay, good. Let's move on. We got questions to get to. We asked for them. People are going to give them, and we're going to try to answer them as best as we can. This from Kaniac Coleman. Is there a possibility that both Marty Natchez and Julian Gauthier make this team, considering they seem to be vying for the same spot, but we desperately need right-handed shots in the forward group? All right. I'll go on record with this. I get why you want the balance of right-handed shots, but if the left-handed shot, and I'm not saying this is the case right now, but if my 12 best forwards are all left-handed, I will go with 12 left-handed shots and figure it out from there.
Yep.
So let me just go on record with that. I get the reasoning why you want balance and why in a perfect world you'd have three right-handed forwards and you have three right-handed defensemen. I know the logic behind it.
Especially on the power play when you're trying to get guys in the right position to receive passes and set them up to shoot and all of that.
Yeah, understood. But is there a possibility that we'd see both of them make the team? Yeah, I think there's a possibility for that. Julian Gauthier has definitely made the case that he could be a forward for the Carolina Hurricanes this year.
Yeah, I think he's the one that most reminds me of what Warren Fogle did last year, of coming in and just straight earning a spot. I don't think any of us really expected Warren Fogle to do it last season. We maybe expected him to contend or, you know, at least maybe impress based on what he had done the year before in the two games that he got. But he came in and forced this team to put him on their roster, and obviously it worked out very well. And now I think you're seeing Julian Gauthier coming in here more motivated than he's ever been off of a short summer. You know, 3 months ago he was winning the Calder Cup, and now you're seeing him come in and make a very strong case for him to be on this team. And we'll see what he does in these last couple of preseason games. I think you want to see more out of Martin Natchez because you haven't really seen too much just yet. But I wouldn't press the panic button just yet because it is preseason and because things can be so chaotic in preseason. But Yeah, I think there's a chance they can both make the team. I mean, worth considering, too, is the fact that Martin Natchez can be assigned to Charlotte without waivers. So that's a benefit for both the Hurricanes and for Natchez. But, you know, if you're him, you want to make the team. If you're the Hurricanes, you want to see him make the team. So we'll see what, you know, how he fares in these last few preseason games here.
All right, this from Camilla. Who do you think will have the second most points this season? I bet we all agree that Aho is going to get the most, but will Nino or Turbo or maybe DeZingle be second? Also, greetings from Finland, and thanks for all the nice words you said about us Finns in the last episode.
Oh, there's our Finnish listener, one of our Finnish listeners.
Who helped make us for a brief moment in time.
For a brief moment. We've dropped. We're not number one in Finland
anymore. We're still in the top 10, though.
But maybe with that question and with the Eric Hall interview, we'll be shooting up the charts in Finland.
I'm hoping so.
Yes. I think you could throw Andrei Svechnikov into that mix, perhaps. I mean, it would take a big leap from, you know, his previous season's point total.
If I was to go the Las Vegas odds route, we're seeing this is for Finland, the Monte Carlo route for gambling, I would put Teuvo Teravainen as the second, the leader in the clubhouse to get the second most points.
Yeah, especially if he's going to be playing closely with Sebastian Aho. And like you said, Nino Niederreiter could also fit into that. Again, especially if he's playing with Sebastian Aho. If Aho's scoring goals, one of them is probably giving him the puck. And consequently, if they're scoring goals, then Sebastian Aho is probably giving them the puck. So really, who's ever playing on that top line is going to be, and I would think, strong contention to finish second on the team in points. And this, of course, assuming Aho finishes first, which I think there's a very good chance that happens.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. But my money would be Aho's first, Teuvo Teravainen second on the team in points. So ole hiva. So you're welcome.
Oh, kitos.
Kitos. Thank you. Well done. Or as our friend Brock McGinn would say.
Thank you.
So we've got those questions answered. Anything else that you've seen? Or are you just relying on me now?
Yep.
All right, I'll continue as best we can.
We do have, as I said, some cuts coming today. The Hurricanes have assigned forwards Jacob Richards, Spencer Smallman, and defenseman Frederick Claesson and Alex Lintuniemi to the Charlotte Checkers. Plus, the three players who are in camp on AHL-only contracts, so Shinkaruk, Fitzgerald, and Shepard, are all reporting to Charlotte. So the Hurricanes training camp roster now at 40 players.
Okay, so seven players off of the list today.
Yes.
And probably we can expect what more cuts Thursday after the Nashville game?
I would think so. And it's worth noting, too, that a handful of players did clear waivers yesterday for the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes now have a period of time in which they can assign them to Charlotte. They just went ahead and sent them through waivers yesterday. Kyle Wood was one of those players, defenseman. The Hurricanes now have some flexibility on when they might send those guys down. Kind of smart, if you ask me, to go ahead and send them through waivers, because this early in training camp, teams have still so many players on their roster that might not have room to fit these guys in. So the Hurricanes go ahead and clear some guys on waivers, but only one or two of them, I think, from that list were assigned to Charlotte today. So now the Hurricanes have some leeway on when they assign them to Charlotte, but you'll probably see that in the next week or so.
All right, well, this question's for me, because it's from David Tao for Big Rig. That would be me. Since in your previous life you were someone whose responsibilities included covering multiple teams, is it ever monotonous covering just one, or do you enjoy the fact that you can go more in-depth with just one team? That's a really good question. I've actually given it some thought. I prefer just covering one team because you get to know the players a little bit better. You get to know the coaches. There are questions that you can ask that you know you'll get answers to, where if you're just popping in once in a while covering other teams, you might not get the answer that you're looking for. I understand variety is the spice of life, Michael Smith.
It is, yeah.
And I do enjoy it.
That's what they say, at least.
That's what they tell me. I did enjoy covering, you know, other teams and other sports, and I still watch other sports. It's not like I don't pay attention or follow, but it's so hard today when you're covering four or five teams, especially if you're in the triangle. I mean, it's not just one college, so just one football program, one basketball program, or maybe another Olympic sport that does really well, or, you know, covering, like, if you're in UConn, a women's basketball program, or Tennessee's basketball, where you can narrow it down to that. You got to know three college football programs that are Division I pretty good, pretty well. Same with the basketball programs, plus the recruits that come in from there, plus you had to know the Canes, and then the NFL markets, where it gets to the point of it becomes not – you don't have enough time to get to all the information. And there are a lot of guys out there who are waiting for you to – they'd ask a question. Like, I don't know. Oh, you're an expert? Well, I'm trying to cover, 14 programs right now.
Yep.
So help me out. So I've always enjoyed having a beat and being a beat reporter to that, where you just cover one or two programs, and I like it much better, just because hopefully we give you, with the access that Michael Smith and I have, a little bit more insight into a team, whereas if we were covering three or four, probably wouldn't have the time and, more importantly, the energy to give you the insight to a team that you want.
Yeah. I found questions.
Oh, did you?
Jared Ellis, with TVR practicing today, how long do you think it will be before we see him on the active roster again? Not sure. He practiced with the team today. Didn't take contact, but him practicing with the team is a good step. Don Waddell originally said he wouldn't be ready for the start of the season. And again, the start of the season is just over a week away. Yep. Don't know if he'll be quite ready for opening night, and the Hurricanes don't need to rush him with the defensemen on their roster that they have. But I don't think he's too far off. Based on, him getting back to practice. The next step, obviously, will be him taking contact, seeing how he responds to that, making sure his shoulder is all good, he feels comfortable with it, and then he'll jump back into game action. So don't think he's too far off, but the Hurricanes aren't in any rush to get him back.
Don't think that he is ready for opening night, but piggybacking on what Michael just said, don't think that he's going to be out for a prolonged period of time. This from Chris Miracle. Can you get John and Tripp, and of course you, is this you or me? Because the question's to both of us.
I think you.
Okay. To do an intermission segment where they go behind the scenes on everything they do to prepare for a broadcast. Notes, research, watching game film, practicing name pronunciations, and anything else. No. Everything they do is behind lock and key.
It's very secretive.
Very secretive. Top secret.
Maybe. Maybe we get a camera.
Really up to John and Tripp. But yeah, prep is it's funny because everybody has a different way of doing it. I can't give all of the trade secrets away, but it's a lot of reading. I mean, a ton of reading and a ton of watching hockey. That's the majority of it, especially for I don't know how John Forslund sleeps, because all he's doing is watching hockey games.
I don't think he does.
No, I don't think he does. He's told us he doesn't. I'd believe him.
Yeah. A couple of questions about Justin Falk that got answered by the news of the day.
Yeah.
And then one from Howie Handorf. Where are the Special Canes road trips this year? And he votes for 2 minutes of the Marty Minute. But,
Again, folks, we're giving you an inch. Do not take the mile.
We'll stick with a minute. If it starts to go long, we'll up it to two.
Once
but I
again,
think
it's one of these things, like it's a minute in title only. Sometimes it might be 40 seconds. Sometimes it might be 3 minutes.
That's
it's
true.
It's however long that Jordan Martinook wants to talk.
Yeah, I think today clocked in right about 50 seconds.
A little bit. I think about 53 I have.
Which was perfect.
But that's fine. That's what it is.
And
Brian
then,
Pesci, by the way, answered the question
right,
for
and he
us.
Nailed it. It's mom's trip this year, and it will be in Nashville.
That's right. Brian Pesci, friend of the program, friend to all, and father of Brett.
Yeah.
And Bradley.
And that's in February.
My one of my better interviews of all time.
I agree.
Thank you. I don't want to say that turned things around, but it might have turned things around. This from Kaniac Alyssa, listening late, but I love throwback jerseys too. I would love to see a 90s era throwback, not just Whalers.
That would be
cool. I think that goes from last week's Canes cast. I'm in on that one.
Yeah, that would be neat. I would be down all for right. that. It'd be it would be interesting to see the Hurricanes bring back those. Can we call them retro unis? I mean, it's been over 20 years now.
Retro.
Does that qualify as retro?
Oh yeah, they're retro.
With the big numbers and italicized letters and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's retro. If anything over, I'd have to think anything over a decade old is retro.
What I would like to see is the Kings bring those 90s jerseys here for Whalers night in January. But
did you see that the Kings kind of changed their uniforms this year?
Well, they introduced those retro ones with the windblown texture, yes, similar to what the Hurricanes had on their wordmark from the. It's very 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see those here, but I don't think that's the plan.
No.
I think they're just wearing them at home. But Kings, if you're listening,
bring them.
Adidas.
I loved those jerseys. I really
did. Yeah, they were sharp.
The black and silver.
Old school.
When Gretzky got there. Well, no, the old school are. I love the purple and gold ones.
That's really old school.
That's super old
schoolers.
Don Waddell would appreciate those.
Yes.
And he does.
And St. Louis.
Is one game where, well, they appreciate a lot of things.
Exactly.
So, all right. Anything else you want to add? This was a full podcast today.
You know, I'm pretty sure we probably missed something along the way, but that's how it goes. We'll be back behind the microphones again next week.
Yep.
Next Monday.
Should be a Monday.
To discuss anything that we forgot on this podcast. Ooh, you know what? One thing.
Yes.
I've forgotten this week after week. A shout out. Hopefully he's listening. Brad Bowie. I met Brad Bowie and his family, the Bowie family. I ran into him at Costco a few weekends back. Told him we'd give him a shout out on the pod and then promptly forgot about it. Forgot a couple episodes after that too. Remembering now, hopefully he's listening. Brad, it was very lovely meeting you and your family. Sorry, I forgot about the shout out, but I'm getting back to it.
Hey, you got to it now?
Yeah, we got to it now.
And shout out to my new office roommate.
Yes.
Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
So she'll never
hear this. Welcome to the team.
She will never hear this. I mean, she'd have to listen to
podcast. I don't even know how long we've gone right now. It's probably over an hour.
5 hours.
By now. I don't know if anybody's listening.
Or an hour and a half. Bill Berniston is. Do you know why?
Because he loves this podcast
and we haven't talked
so
about,
much.
And we haven't talked about food yet.
That's true. We'll talk about it next week.
We should.
Okay.
I have a lot that I could go over where I was.
Let's do it
I
then.
Won't. We'll talk to you next week where we'll have all of the preseason hockey done and we'll be getting ready for the start of the regular season. Can you believe it? The Web's Michael Smith.
I'm just glad that preseason will be over.
Oh, so am I. For the man who's happy preseason is winding down, the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.